Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the 5E Filibuster.
Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Mac McIntyre.
Hi there.
And special guest, Chief Justice, Mr. Michael Staley.
Hey-ho.
I was trying to add on another adjective or something awesome to your title, but I suck at improv. So it's just the three of us, and we'll kind of keep this nice and neat. We'll get you out for your Easter weekend. This is the Good Friday filibuster, actually. So this is nice. Coming to you in the Good Friday filibuster. And, well, I guess we'll just get right into it. Mac, why don't you share with the viewers and the children out there listening what you've been up to these last few days?
All right. Well, let's see. I made it out to the movie theater twice this week, actually.
All right.
Two kind of very different movie theater experiences.
I'm going to try to guess, see if I can guess what you saw. All right.
Okay.
Scream 4.
That's one that I saw.
Okay.
Yeah. See if you $20 if you can guess the second one.
Oh, so it's Rio?
No.
okay, man. Michael, what would be so startling for Mac to see that he would put pony up $20?
Was it one of those sneak preview type things?
No.
Oh, okay. I will go with Source Code.
Wrong.
All right, what is it? What was it?
I was very confident you wouldn't guess this one. I went to the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where they were doing a Jim Henson retrospective, and I saw The Dark Crystal on the big screen.
That's cool. Yeah.
So, you know, I've never seen that movie.
Me neither, actually.
Yeah. No way. What? It is. It's quite the experience, and seeing it with an audience was very different than watching it at home.
Were people coming in character?
You know, no, that would have been great.
They have felt
that.
On and do with hands up the rear end or something.
Right. You know, it was a little uncomfortable at first because there was a lot of ironic laughter and people were kind of making fun of the movie. Like, you know, there's, unintentional comedy type of thing. But so that was kind of at the start of the movie and that was making me a little comfortable because I like the movie, but... I should have known better because when the credits started and Jim Henson's name came up on the screen, the audience just went crazy. They're like, yeah, Jim Henson, yeah.
Wow.
So that, as soon as that happened, I knew that I was in good company.
Very nice.
So, yeah, but it was a lot of fun. Really, really fun to see, you know, all that great sort of, you know, handmade Henson craft work on the big screen, really taking all the detail and, just kind of... one of those sort of movie experiences where you're really enjoying it with the audience. And, very cool.
How about Scream 4?
No waste of time.
Okay, thank you. Very good.
I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah, just do what I do and just watch the first one, pretend the sequels don't exist. Because I really like the first one. The first one was a real sort of, when it debuted at theaters, I'm actually old enough to remember seeing Scream at the big, when it first came out. And when that happened, and, you know, at 96, it was just like a lightning bolt at the movies, you know. It's just it really took everyone by storm. And trying to recapture that magic in this new movie, it's not happening.
Yeah.
So is Wes Craven done? Has he lost his touch, or does he just need to move into something else? And
yeah, I don't know. You know, I had high hopes for what was the last one he did last year? The bad guy was called The Ripper, which was – that's original.
I know what you're saying. What was it?
My Soul to Take.
My Soul to Take. Yes. Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm still a fan of his, you know. He's such a creative guy. I'll see anything he works on. But, I mean, he's reinvented horror twice now, so I'm still waiting for him to pull out the third. And
really, I thought there were rumors that he wasn't even involved with, like, he had, like, a parting of ways with Scream 4.
Oh, really?
Creative differences, but maybe not. Maybe I'm just spreading vile rumors right now.
Could be. I don't know. But we have, he's back in the director's chair, and we have Kevin Williamson writing the screenplay. And who's that other guy? Aaron Kruger?
Right.
Too. Yeah, so. Yeah.
I think didn't he write the Transformers movie? I think he, right? Isn't that him?
No, third I thought it was those other guys did the Transformers movie.
The third one. Like you may have
the third one.
Oh, yeah.
I know who you're talking about, so.
Orsi and Kurtzman.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, right. So it was really disappointing. It was just like, I was trying to see these guys work really hard to kind of reclaim their former glory. And yeah, I'd rather see something new and exciting from them rather going back to the well. But
and he's got nothing on his plate right now. There's absolutely nothing pending on his on his IMDb profile.
Hmm. Maybe you should get into TV. You know,
hey, it's the way to go. I'm sure.
Hook up with AMC or something. You know, yeah. Get yourself a series.
Really?
There was a Nightmare on Elm Street series, wasn't there?
Yes, and boy, it's we could do a whole show based on that. Because
is that that Nightmare Cafe?
No. It was Freddy's Nightmares.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
And but we could do a whole episode on that one.
Not on this Good Friday, please. All right. Anything else?
That's about it. I mean, two movies. Yeah, and I'm a busy dude these days. So.
Impressive. All right, Michael, what about you? You're busy as well. Speaking of busy.
Yeah, but nothing's too exciting. I mean, it's all just, you know, I've been doing a little bit more acting work.
Yes.
I've been nominated to the Screen Actors Guild nominating committee for this year, which means I'm part of the awards season process. Which
what it really means is you've got compromising Polaroids of the nominating committee.
See, now that would be something.
Okay, that's good news. Huh? You're a power player.
Well, it just means I'm going to be seeing a lot more movies than I already do.
Gotcha.
But I'm glad I didn't get on the television nominating committee because those guys are responsible for covering all of that stuff. And God forbid, I don't watch hardly any TV anymore anyways. So.
That'd be a lot.
Jeez.
The Creatures from the Dark Crystal, do they ever get any Screen Actors Guild awards?
You know, they probably should come up with something for puppets and puppeteers.
Yes. The felt covered category.
Yes. Yes.
Nice. All right. Well, that's exciting news.
What about you?
Well, the big thing is episode one of Game of Thrones. I had been looking forward to this for a while. I never read any of the books, know nothing about it. But it's got Sean Bean, and he's wearing this awesome wolf cloak. And he's got a huge sword, so I was like, I guess I need to get HBO. So that's what I did. So HBO is running this promo. I figured might as well, you know, it's worth $10 a month, I suppose, and watch the first episode. Very much a, you know, setting the table episode, introducing characters, and it's just a lot of political intrigue and taking place in this fantasy realm. So you're just meeting characters, you're meeting the houses, the realms, the lords and the ladies and the king and all that stuff. So, but it was still pretty compelling stuff. And I mean, beautifully mounted, high quality as you would expect. But from what I hear, it just really picks up and takes off going forward. Just been kind of trying to decipher a lot of the mythology. HBO includes a lot of kind of behind the scenes infos that you can get, like little featurettes that explain to you about that. And, George Martin, that's his name, right? Is it George?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the author. They have him on there. He's talking about it. Definitely the stereotype you would think of a guy who would write a huge fantasy novel. Let me just put it that way. But anyway, he definitely loves his material. But it looks like it's going to be pretty epic. So I enjoyed the first one a lot. So
is this HBO's answer to Spartacus?
I don't think so. Look, I like Spartacus as much as the next guy, but that's a really guilty pleasure.
Okay. You
know? I mean, this one is on a level of, I mean, this is like feature film level here, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it is just epic in scope and just the production is, you can tell the way the production was mounted. I mean, it is a big budget. They're not screwing around here. So,
That's the same thing I'm hearing about, Doctor Who, the new season of Doctor Who that's coming up. Those are the phrases that are being thrown around.
Really?
That and Torchwood, which is going to be another cable series now. It's going to be on Stars.
Oh, I didn't even know they were bringing it back. Didn't they kill off all the characters?
No, you still have you still have Gwen Cooper and Captain Jack.
Captain Jack, of course.
And Gwen's husband, Reese. But they've added a whole new cast, including John DeLancey from Star Trek The Next Generation.
No way.
Huh. Bill Pullman from Independence Day.
Yeah.
And
well, I like to say Bill Pullman from Spaceballs, but you say what?
I hated this Spaceballs.
But yeah, with Game of Thrones, though, I heard that the reception to the first episode was so positive that they've already
season two. Well, Yeah, I mean, yeah, season 2 has been greenlit already, so.
Yeah, just based on one episode, so that's that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it, definitely. The mythology seems pretty intriguing. You know, I don't know, I'm down with it for sure, so. We'll keep you posted, but
it seems like Cable really is the place to be for these types of.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. Yeah, I mean that's what you're seeing, like on HBO, AMC, of course, these kind of large scale genre shows, and you know where they film the whole thing all in one swoop, and then you know just dole out the episodes. Yeah, we'll see what happens. There's a book series out there that I would love to see get the HBO treatment. It's the Viking invasion of England and like. Way back when in the Dark Ages, and it's awesome. It's an awesome series. I'd love to see a dark and blood and guts MA-rated version of that. That'd be sweet. Or at least a video game where I could be a Viking and hack people up. So, anyway, let's move along to what we've been working on. Mac, what do you got in the pipeline?
Let's see. What have I been... Oh, yeah. Here's a big surprise for me. I just finished up the latest release for Ben 10, Ultimate Alien.
Wow. That is a big surprise.
No, it's a really great release. There's going with the theme. There's 10 episodes in this set, and I know I've been kind of critical and a little harsh on the show, as much as I like it in my last couple of reviews. But this next set that's coming up, this show starts getting really good again. And they start doing some really big sort of epic action episodes and really crazy far out outer space type of concepts. So. It's really great fun, and I really enjoyed it a lot. It's probably the best the show has been since the hybrid arc.
I have no idea what that means. I'm going to trust that something good.
the first six volumes of Ben 10 Alien Force were like the show at its creative peak, when it was really just, you know, breaking new ground. That those six volumes were all one big story arc. That was when Ben battled the hybrid. So. And now these new episodes, it's kind of they've hit that same peak again. So it's really exciting.
So how many sets is that now, Mac? What's the count? Are we in double digits yet?
Let's see. There were four seasons of Ben 10. Then there were three seasons of Alien Force. Gets confusing. And now this, I believe, is the second season of Ultimate Alien. With a third season currently underway.
So I hope you have like a crawl space devoted only to Ben 10 stuff.
That's right. And there's been two live action movies and one animated movie made for TV.
And speaking of crawl space, Eric Eschlager joins us right now.
I'm here. Thanks to Skype. I've been watching you guys kind of sitting on there for like half an hour and like, why is no one calling me?
For some reason, I didn't see you there. Then I wasn't looking at the contacts when I started recording. But anyway, it's good to have you back here.
Oh, thanks.
But I'm going to ambush you right now and have you talk about what you've been watching for review this last week.
Okay, so that's where we are on the show.
That's where we are, yes.
Well, and thanks that when the show actually goes up, I'll have, you know, 15, 20 minutes I haven't heard yet. So
that's true.
Brandon,
that's your experience.
It's a gift to me.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. this week I'm reviewing Don't Look Back, the 1965 Bob Dylan documentary. Which is coming out on Blu-ray. And I'm a big Bob Dylan fan, but I'd never actually seen this one before, which is probably heresy considering it's, you know, probably one of the Dylan documentaries. But really interesting, very loose. There's no real story. There are very few performances. What performances are truncated. It's just kind of this filmmaker got a handheld kind of camera and just sat in the rooms and followed Bob Dylan around, and it was very fly on the wall type stuff. It's very cool, so I definitely recommend it. I know it's got a lot of it's on a lot of people's, you know, top rock movie lists and stuff. I think that's deserved. The Blu-ray, I mean, the quality of the Blu-ray is as good as the source material, and the source material is not great, you know, but it represents that kind of gritty look well. And it's fun. There's a ton of bonus features. There's even a bonus DVD that's another documentary. It's not just a DVD copy of the movie. So. Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Very good. Was it a, what movie? No, it was not Bob Dylan. It was, Was it John Lennon, the nude one, the naked one that you had reviewed?
Yeah. No, okay. I haven't reviewed any made-for-TV Bob Dylan documents.
Not yet. Not yet.
But if and when that comes through the docket, I'm sure I'll be on the list for that.
That's right.
But there is another gritty documentary on its way to Eric this week.
Oh, excellent.
Very popular, popular figure in some certain circles.
Ooh. Very cryptic. What could that be?
No, that is. I don't even know.
Starring Sarah Palin.
Oh, the Alaska one?
Yeah.
Is that like...
Okay.
Sarah Palin's Alaska.
Oh, boy. I did ask for whatever you needed, huh? Didn't I?
There you go. Look at you.
Boy. How many episodes are there in that season? Let me look that
up. 52, 53?
Oh, there's 10.
10? Okay. Oh, I think one of them stars... part of the Goslins are still on TV, so I can look forward to that.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sure I can. Yes, I will give it my full and fair attention, as I always do.
You always do. Limited nudity in that one, too. Mike, have you been able to tear yourself away from your big popular Screen Actors Guild?
Yeah, my popular stuff. No, in old news with Michael Staley, I finally saw Tangled.
Oh, nice.
What was that? It was good.
Right? Everyone says it's fantastic.
Yeah, I would look at it as, you know, Disney kind of reinvented itself with Little Mermaid. You know, that was kind of their second golden age, and I would look at this as kind of their third golden age is the story, if they can keep it up. I mean, it's very much in the vein of a Pixar type film. There's great story, great performances, and a very distinctive looking style. So, no, they did an excellent job with it, and it's well worth seeking out.
I mean, it was pretty well lauded. So, do you think there's a sequel in Tangled's future?
I hope not. Ah. I think it kind of stands on its own, and I would hate to see them dilute. You know, Disney's always done that. At least during the Michael Eisner regime, they diluted their franchises by doing two or three sequels to movies that really didn't deserve them. So, just, you know, keep the magic of that, revisit it, and go do something else.
Yeah, I don't know how on earth they would ever do a sequel without ruining it. Yeah.
Yeah,
because I really liked it too, but it's a standalone film.
Yeah,
I can't imagine any way they would do a sequel unless they pick some random side character and tell that person's story or something.
Oh God, don't give them any ideas.
Nice. All right, good. Let's see what's the new for me here. Nothing. Well, there was another movie that I kind of don't get the huge happy critical consensus. Donnie Yen's Ip Man 2, which I requested with high hopes. You know, hey, Donnie Yen, he's probably my favorite action, overseas action guy working now. This movie was pretty awful, I think. I mean, it's essentially a remake of Rocky IV. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, everything from where our hero, the Ip Man, takes on this giant, ridiculous, stereotyped, you know, opponent who's a Westerner, you know, a Brit, and all the Brits in this movie are just, I don't know, they're like the mustache twirling villains, you know, it's like a bunch of Colonel Quaritches sitting there watching things, and they have their fight, and the Ip Man, spoiler alert, Ip Man wins, and he actually gets up and he delivers a speech to the Brits who watched it, who are, you know, booing him when he first started. He honestly delivers a speech of how we all should just get along and treat each other with dignity. And, like, one guy even stands up and starts a slow clap. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. So, just really disappointing. And there's, like, wire work, and that's disappointing as well. And, you know, stuff doesn't – it's supposedly grounded in reality, but stuff doesn't really make sense. Like, Donnie Yen defends his school of kung fu against other rival senseis or teachers, and they fight on a giant round kitchen table for some reason. It just doesn't really make any sense. So I don't know. Just a disappointment. So
okay. check out the first one. I think I saw the first one was pretty good. It sounds a lot better.
I'm probably ipped out, to be honest.
You have not had much luck with martial arts films.
That is one of my joys in life, Michael Staley, is getting one of those undiscovered, martial arts movies that you may not, you know, your Marin Tao, for example, or, you know, just something you wouldn't see coming and really enjoying it. So, that's been a disappointment. The Muay Thai fighter was another disappointment. Yep. Marketed as this big, Tony Jaa type of kung fu extravaganza, and it's essentially a coming-of-age story, 2 hours long. Jip. Well, maybe I should call it Jip Man. So,
we'll see if Muay Thai Giant has anything for you.
I'm looking forward to it, actually. So I was very excited to see that one in the docket. So I'm fingers crossed. Hopefully it breaks the trend. So
you're like a Santa Claus handing out gifts on Christmas morning.
You are. Yeah. That's right.
Or maybe an Oprah. Santa Claus or Oprah.
Well, Mac is getting Jedi Junkies this week.
Oh, nice. Everyone's getting Muay Thai Giant. Everyone's getting Muay Thai Giant. all right. Well, let's move on, Mac. Well, what's happening next? Why don't you tell us what's coming out next week?
Okay. That's just what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And from there, we're going to click on the cover art gallery for April 26th and just talk about what's on the list here that's interesting or exciting to us.
April 26th, and it still feels like winter outside of my house.
Yes, it's freezing where I am.
And no Santa Monica weather reports for me, Mike Staley, please.
Thanks. Well, it's not all that exciting here either, so no, but I won't say anything.
It's just the cloud of pot smoke.
That's right.
In the horizon.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
These are a mess. I apologize. There's a lot of cover art work that needs to be done, and I just have not focused any time on these.
Oh, Dino Shark. Great. Another one of those Roger Corman sci-fi creature features.
A movie that's been getting a lot of positive buzz is The Way Back.
Yes, that's right.
Kind of an action wilderness survival movie.
Yeah, Steve loved it. He got one of the best movies of last year.
And the guy's escaping the gulag.
Yeah.
There's Muay Thai Giant. Looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty gigantic.
Yeah. He's a giant.
BBC is really pushing this release of Human Planet, which I'm kind of – it seems lost in a sea of all these types of, you know, David Attenborough science and nature specials, but this one's both something special.
It's like a bunch of re-releases, too.
Yeah.
Horatio Hornblower, which is a pretty good A&E series.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. It was out forever ago. We saw the DVD set. We liked it.
Going to end season two.
Yes. I told my wife about that, and she almost passed out with joy. That first season years ago. So I don't know. What did they have to clear for the second season? I get like... Was Joanna Kearns holding on to some kind of rights?
It could be another music issue again. They had a lot of songs and rock music on those shows, didn't they?
There you go.
More Savage Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Movies.
That's right. Man, another week, another batch of Hellraiser re-releases.
Yeah, I saw those. Which one of those is the one where Hellraiser gets on the internet and becomes Cyber Pinhead?
That's a guy. I don't know. I missed that one, unfortunately.
Well, I do have to give props to my buddy Chris Monfette, who used to be the DVD guy over at IGN, who is now writing the Hellraiser comic book.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
and he's now the online editor for Chiller TV out in New York. So they've already sold out. They've gone into their second printing. So the Hellraiser franchise, at least in the graphic form, is still... You know, doing very well. Right.
Yeah, there's still a fan base out there for it. I reviewed one of the re-releases of the first movie a while ago, and I got quite a bit of positive feedback on it.
Has there ever been like a Spider-Ham Peter Porker parody called Hellraisin, where it's a raisin from hell? like a California, like a demonic California raisin.
Pretty hard to get all those pins to stick into a raisin.
Jeez. per Christian Slater, he's hitching his wagon to Cuba Gooding Jr. That
there
cannot
go.
Be a good thing. Sacrifice.
And in little our dignity, you can barely see it, but it's underneath that sacrifice. Now to the left there, Romeo and Juliet. Was that the one from like the 70s or whatever that I watched in my ninth grade class and I had that quick nipple view that got everybody excited? I don't remember.
The Olivia Hussey one?
I think so. And we were immediately scolded by our...
Zephyr Yeah, that's on Netflix now.
This one's from 1954.
No, that's too old. That's definitely not. Yeah.
You might see a bit of ankle.
Maybe. That's right. that one was right up... That Romeo and Juliet nip slip was right up there as far as provocative stuff I've seen in school, right, with the Clash of the Titans side boob.
It's kind of crazy that I think we all probably saw that at some point early in our lives, and that's like the only thing I remember from that movie.
Yes,
which is it's a classic. It's a great actor, a great filmmaker. It's one of the greatest plays of all written. But it's I saw her boob.
Forget the movie. That's the only thing I remember from high school. See what else?
It's not impressive. We're going through, I don't know, the studios are getting nervous just because of the state of the industry, but I did hear a report the other day that Best Buy's profits were up because people were sick of waiting for discs from Netflix, so they were going out and buying stuff.
There you go. That's good.
Interesting.
Good for the studios, bad for us, I guess.
Well, good for the studios, bad for the consumer. Good for us, working for DVD
for us. It's true.
That's right. That's right.
Well, if Michael had said that Amazon's profits were up, then I would have.
That would be even better.
So, I remember which hat I'm wearing right now.
Did Netflix, we not get Sex and the Single Mom on the docket this week?
Sex and the Single Mom?
And Gail O'Grady from NYPD Blue?
No, we didn't.
Another Lifetime reissue.
We did get a Denise Richards movie, but I didn't send it to you, Dave.
You're lost.
Bromley's got that one. It's called Cougars Incorporated.
I did see that, yes. I didn't bother clicking on that. Thank you.
I got to spread the love around there.
It's about time they incorporated. I've been telling them for years. It's tax purposes. Sorry, Michael, what were you saying about Netflix?
The instant streaming has just exploded.
It really has. It's crazy what they have.
And just the volume of stuff that's coming out every month that they're just putting even more on there. I mean, every season of Top Gear is on there now.
That's right.
And I've been kind of devouring that. But once you get past or before season 8, it takes on a very distinctive, unfun tone. They've really found their footing now. It just kind of early on, they weren't all that. They weren't what they are today.
Yeah, I agree.
How long has that been on?
There's been two incarnations of it. The original one. I mean, there's one. Actually, maybe more than two. I mean, it used to go back to like the 70s, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then Jeremy Clarkson was involved in one from like the early '90s, late '80s, maybe until 2001, and they redid it after a 2-year hiatus or something.
Yeah, but this
and they really hit their sweet
series right now.
They really hit their sweet spot though, in about like you said, like season 8, 9 or so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're obviously bored with this week's list.
Yes.
although I have to ask, did anyone know there was a Neverending Story 3?
I did know. I did.
Really?
Know.
Was it a cable thing?
I know nothing about it, though. But I know it existed. That's all I can tell you. It looks terrible. It looks terrible.
Apparently, if you scroll over the link there, it says, The Neverending Story 3, Escape from Fantasia, featuring Jack Black.
Black? Yeah. Is it animated?
Oh, no, that's right. I remember that one. He plays like a punk rocker guy who like pursues the kid in the real world. You know that every one of these movies begin where the kid's being chased by the bullies, and then he goes into the fantasy world. He's like he's some kind of punk rocker. Yeah, I've seen this, haven't I?
So this is this is a young Jack Black, I guess.
Yeah, this was before he was famous.
Yeah. Actually, it's the exact plot of the fourth Hellraiser movie. So. All right, interval release, please, is sounding DVD release of the week. Mac, what do you go? What do you got first?
Okay, I actually don't know what this means, but I went with Cashy Mashy.
That's good. I don't know what it means, but it sounds hot. Eric?
Below the Beltway.
Lobbyist porn, I think. Michael?
Student Services.
Very nice. I'm glad that mine wasn't taken. Mom and Dad and Her.
Oh, my God. Yikes.
All right, let's move on to our ambush topics, our final phase of the Friday Filibuster, where we'll just toss some random topics at each other. I'll go first, seeing that this is Easter weekend, Back from the Dead.
Jeez. Oh, I could put up Max Prombies, but it doesn't.
Okay, well, let's go with a classic. We'll go with Spock from Star Trek 3.
Very good. Yeah. Excellent. How exactly did he survive? Take us through that. Take us through the science of that.
Okay, so they had the Genesis device exploded and created a new planet, which was the Genesis planet. And that worked because of something called the Genesis effect, which caused the new planet to grow and be lush and green-like and everything. They took Spock's body, they put in his torpedo coffin, shot him down onto the planet, and then the Genesis effect took over, and that's what brought him. So just like it made all the plants grow green and lush, it made Spock turn back into Spock.
All right, thank you.
Except that he was exactly the same, except he recycled more. That was because of the green. Lush. No, sorry.
But they put his brain into Dr. McCoy, and then they had to dig it out and put in his
That's
essence.
That's right, yes.
They had to transfer it back. What about Buffy from Buffy the Vampire?
That's good. How many times was she brought back from the dead? Just the once?
Twice.
Was it twice?
Yeah. First she drowned and Xander used CPR. It's that magical movie CPR where like 30 seconds of CPR and then you're just fine.
And I cough up some water, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then there was the big fifth season finale, which was a huge story arc.
Yeah. See, if you'd actually seen that I was on Skype and called me, I would have told you that I started watching Buffy this week.
Oh, fantastic.
Did you?
Yeah, I just finished the first season today.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So I just watched exactly what you're talking about.
Nice.
Wow. And that was what popped into my head when you – that wasn't my answer, but
– That's a podcast miracle.
It is.
It's an Easter miracle.
It is an Easter miracle.
You know, vampires and such.
That's right.
I think for mine, I'm going to go with kind of an obscure movie, although they did it on Mystery Science Theater, so people probably know it. Zombie Nightmare.
Oh, sure.
Which is a horror movie that they bill as starring Adam West, but he has a very kind of a smallish part as this kind of sleazy sheriff. But mostly it's about this high school kid who's, I think, hit and run by some teenagers, and he dies. And he's brought back to life by a voodoo priestess to take revenge on his killers. And the guy who plays the high school kid, the zombie kid, his name is John Micklethor. And the music is done by his heavy metal band called Thorchestra.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, no.
Yeah, have I reviewed this movie?
Michael Thor,
You might have.
I think it's known as – is this the same as Rock and Roll Nightmare or not?
No, it's two different movies.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Tia Carrere is in it. It's a weird movie.
I did see that one.
Yeah. They make fun of it being in Canada a lot. There's a lot of Canada jokes in that one. It's a good episode.
All right, mine was a little flashback to the Tales from the Crypt movie from 1972. I don't know if you ever saw this. This the original Tales from the Crypt. Pretty interesting. It's an anthology movie. But this one story. It's like the monkey paw story. You know, they have these wishes, and basically, long story short, a guy dies, and the wish is to bring him back to life. So he does come back to life, but here's the twist. He's been embalmed already. So the last scene of this is this guy's in this casket screaming because the formaldehyde is burning through his veins. And everyone panics and starts chopping him up. And he's still screaming and doesn't kill him. So that was pretty disturbing for a 1972 British horror movie, which are typically boring and not horrifying. So... It's a formaldehyde, boy. Tough way to go.
All right. Remember any other stuffy British horror movies from the 70s? Like I Say! Exclamation point. Or yeah. Time for Murder.
Mind the Gap.
All right, Mac, what do you got? Why don't you go next?
Okay. There are so many of these, we could probably do like rapid fire and do a whole list. It's when the characters are slowly walking toward the camera as something explodes behind them.
Ah, gotcha. Another – that's part of the Easter story too, I think, right? That's how they open
Jesus
the tomb.
Nazareth.
Yeah, that's how they open the tomb. Let's see.
Isn't Hot Fuzz – isn't there a big explosion where they're doing that?
Probably. It's on the cover of the –
It's on the cover. Con Air is a great one. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the largest practical explosions I've ever seen lit off. John Malkovich is walking slowly with all his scumbags, but it's an impressive piece of pyrotechnics. This rapid fire thing is not really working out for
me. No.
All I can think of is everything. It's just like, it's all mashed together in my brain.
Well, let's see. There's one from Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Antonio Banderas does it.
That's true. That's a good one.
I know it happened at least once on Burn Notice. And he was just talking on the phone in that one, yeah. but basically, I was just trying to figure out like the psychology of why someone would do this, you know, not turn around and look at the big explosion.
I know.
I think it's called the psychological principle of being awesome.
Yeah. Is it just because, you know, the person you're blowing up, you're so hardcore that you're just dismissing them as you walk away? Or?
Well, I think it's like if you're ever in that position, you're telling yourself, and I've seen explosions before, but how often am I going to be put in this position where I will be able to walk away slowly from it without looking? You know, I need to take – I see it all the time happening in movies. I need to take advantage of this now.
Oh, Heath Ledger with the hospital in Dark Knight, right?
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
That's one, yeah.
He kind of scampers. You know, he scampers away. It's, all right. Eric, what do you got?
My topic?
Yeah.
Or my answer? Oh, topic. Okay. Thank you for skipping me.
Did you have one? I thought you said.
No, I got nothing. I got everything.
I was trying to spare you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I ruined that. Okay, this is in honor of, I guess, Zombie Barbara Streisand, because I thought of the pun first. People who eat people.
Not connected to Easter at all. So let's see.
Not really. I mean,
unless you're in the transubstation.
This is my body. Yeah.
That's right.
Run with it as you will.
People. Well, I guess we got to. Well, here we go. Tying it together with religious horror and 1970s horror. Little movie that Eric and I like to refer to pretty frequently called Deadline.
Don't do it.
Author of stories come true. There's this particularly horrifying segment.
No.
Where some nuns crucify a priest and cannibalize him.
Oh, my God.
Look, and that is like one of the least upsetting.
Right.
We bought this movie thinking, it'll be fun to watch this.
Deadline.
Horror movie to make fun of. And about 90 minutes later, no one was sleeping.
No, I guess I think the nuns eating the crucified priest is just below the smiling, laughing 6-year-olds tying their grandma to a bed and setting it on fire.
Was your college on a Hellmouth?
No, the farmhouse was on a Hellmouth.
Yes,
the
farmhouse was on a Hellmouth.
One of these movies from Farmhouse Department Store.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was PHARM, right?
Yes.
It's a drugstore.
Like Big Farmhouse. You brought it on yourself, Eric.
Oh, that's right.
Your topic.
I didn't need to sleep this week.
You reap the problem.
Wow. Well, there's the semi-obscure 70s horror flick, Cannibal Girls, which you don't actually see a lot of cannibalism on screen, but they are cannibals. And this, you might remember, was the movie that gave us the warning bell. Which every time just before something scary happens, this bell goes off.
Uh-oh.
So that way people watching the movie can turn away from the screen and not be shocked and horrified by the scary stuff, you know, in case you're squeamish.
Yes, right.
But the effect doesn't really work. It more like lets you know that something, it makes you like stop being bored and actually watch for a few minutes. So. And you don't really see all that much, you know. It's like the warning bell goes off, and the cannibal girl stabs a guy with a pair of scissors, and then they cut to the next morning.
What was that Ethan Hawke movie about the plane crash? Alive.
Alive.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Where they had to eat each other.
And that's a punchline to a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke was in that, huh?
Yeah.
That was based on a true story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
In that it actually happened to Ethan Hawke in real life.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's why it doesn't work much anymore.
he just doesn't have the taste for it anymore.
No.
Ba-dum-bum.
Hey. All right, so back to me?
Yeah, what do you got?
All right, this is actually, I picked it tying into Buffy season one. The episode where the hyenas possess the high school kids, including Xander, and there's a scene in which the other possessed high school kids eat the principal.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. That was like the episode where I realized, okay, this is kind of like, it's a 90s show and it kind of feels like it's of the time and, you know, it's very Monster of the Week. But then, you know, people die in the show. It's actually a bit of like an edge to it, as much as it's funny and kind of cool. So.
Well, there was another principal. The one principal turned into a snake and ate some kids.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, just seen the first.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
oh man, that's right. We already blow the season.
You guys have basically ruined everything. It's my fault. I mean, you know, I can't expect much coming to a show this popular this late, so it's okay.
Right, Eric, just so you know, if you're a principal in Buffy, you're doomed.
Yeah. That's fair. I'll
just leave it at that.
That's fine. In one episode, I thought he was a demon, so maybe he is. Don't tell me, but we'll find out.
That was Principal Flutie, was it?
Principal Flutie. Principal Flutie was lunch.
All right, Michael, I guess you're taking us home.
All right. Obscure holidays that deserve a Rankin-Bass special.
Yeah, I think a cute talking groundhog would be nice, you know? Little Burl Ives voiced animated talking groundhog. Goes on a trip around the world to try to find a shadow, only to find out it was at home the whole time. He had it with him the whole time.
No, that's great.
Right. Come on, right?
It's good.
Yep, it works. Who would be the narrator, the guest?
This is 1960s or this is 2011?
Whatever you want to do.
60s, Jim Backus, 2011, Hugh Jackman. In his Australian voice.
Okay.
How about Labor Day with a nice animated Jimmy Hoffa?
Speaking of Jim Backus, change the ending.
That's right. Breaking a song with some SEIU guys and passing out literature. The wonderful passing out literature song.
Let's see. How about Life Day from the infamous Star Wars holiday special? the famous Wookiee holiday, of course, that's celebrated once a year, presumably in the Star Wars equivalent of December. And all the Wookiees get together with their families, and they put on those red robes, and they walk through the magical space door.
And B. Arthur sings a little ditty, right?
And yeah,
so B. Arthur the narrator, then, right?
B. Arthur is there, and Harvey Korman is there, and Carrie Fisher lip syncs a song. And
it's the magical day when all the geriatric Wookiees watch 3D porn.
That's true. Yes, that as well. Yeah. And Jefferson Starship was there too, you know, because of the name Starship. You know, see, that's clever.
That is clever. Well, that's the kind of subtle humor we expect from Lucas.
So yeah, just do with all that and the claymation, and we've got ourselves a new standard.
Fantastic. All right, Mr. Staley, what do you have in mind?
Well, since this week is celebrating 420 Day, the National Marijuana Holiday.
Okay.
Figured we'd do a Rankin-Bass hosted by Cheech and Chong.
That's good.
That'd be good.
But the story wouldn't go anywhere and the characters wouldn't do anything because they'd all be sitting around eating and watching TV. It'd be pretty boring.
I really want to see how they use clay to represent smoke.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Just roiling.
And then getting all those little Doritos, there'd be a lot of real effort. You know, craft. nice. All right. Good. Well, that is that's a nice little tidy 45-minute Friday filibuster with a late guest appearance by Eric, who thankfully stuck through waiting on the contact list.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
Hey, before we go, I have a plug.
Yeah, plug away.
Because if I can't abuse my power in this show, why not? I want to boost. I recently started with the Twitters, so I want to boost my Twitter followerness.
Oh yeah, Twitter. So, what do you got?
Yeah. Everyone can follow me at Asper Slobber.
And he's very funny too.
So. Yeah, there's some funnies going on there.
Asper Slobber.
Yeah, please.
I'm typing in right now. Look at that. Do we have like a list of Twitter feeds, Mike?
We should do that because Verdict definitely.
Hey, look at that.
Twitter
feed. Look at you.
Michael has one. Don't you? Do you want people following you or?
Well, that's fine. Mine is Strange Tales.
Nice. Hey, you're following Weird Al Yankovic, huh? Awesome.
I am. He had a little back and forth with Lady Gaga today. It was very interesting to watch on the Twitters.
when did you join the Twitterverse?
Actually, right around the Oscars. I wanted to follow the F This Movie Twitter.
Nice.
thing. Oh, and Verdict Oscar Twitter thing. So.
All right, very good. So do follow.
Yeah, I'm glad Michael plugged his too, because I felt like kind of a smug jerk.
Not at all.
No way.
We should do that. We should have that on the judges page or on the front page or something. I'll do that.
I'm like the only guy at the party without a date here.
No, that's fine. You can follow David at Make It or Break It Fan.
That's right. Oh, shut up! I told you not to tell anyone about that. Yeah, at ABC Family Fetish. That's the one. Actually, don't they have those little Twitter boxes? Those little embeddable Twitter, like HTML boxes or something, like a widget or whatever, that they just constantly stream all the updated feeds. You ever see those?
Oh, yeah.
It might be worth investigating. They could get everyone's bundled together.
That's true. Yeah. Melissa has one, too. She's Lissa Hansen.
Very good.
You can follow Mac at Ben Tender is the Night.
Oh, man. Well, there you go. So please feel free to subscribe and follow. And with that being said, FridayFilibusterDVDVera.com is our website, and our email address, rather. Our Facebook page is Facebook.com/FridayFilibuster. Thank you to Eric, Mac, and Mike. Mac, take us away.
What's your favorite scary movie?